Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Veterans Connect Radio. This is episode number 9. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. And alongside me today is co-host, special guest co-host, Mr. John Phillips. How are you, sir?
I'm doing outstanding. How about yourself?
Good. And you're sitting in for Brandon, who's still out there doing some training up at Fort Knox, teaching those privates to tie their shoes. And in the meantime, we've asked you to come in here. You're with Boots to Loafers, but also Vetlanta.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything new in either one of those camps?
Well, Vetlanta, we just started an effort where we're doing our from 9 to 11 December. I just put it out on Eventbrite.
Okay.
9 till 11 December, we're doing a 22-mile, 3-day, 2-night backpacking trip. And I've got Sierra Club. I've got Team Red, White, and Blue signed up. Ranger, Live the Ranger Creed, Boots to Loafers. We're all ponying up dollars. Mm-hmm. We're collecting money to take out 25 to 30 veterans on, and let's go rucking.
Yeah, 25 to 30 veterans getting signed up for some backpacking trips. If people want more information on that, how would they find it?
Right now, it's out on Eventbrite. Okay. I'll be putting a page out on our website, which is vetlanta.org. Mm-hmm. And I'll get that out probably in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, get that over to me and we'll share it on Veterans Connect Radio as well as put it on all our social media platforms. And let's remind our listeners to connect with us on social media, Twitter at Vet Connect Radio. And we often use the hashtag Vets Connect. Also, check us out on Facebook, Veterans Connect Radio. We'll be putting up pictures of our in-studio guests and sharing information, like John said, about the upcoming camping trip December 9th and 11th up in the Appalachian Wilderness.
Right up in North Georgia Mountains. The other thing I'd let you know is our Vetlanta Q3 Summit, which is scheduled to be at UPS headquarters on 11 August.
Mm-hmm.
We, as it's panning out right now, we're probably going to have some very, very, very high-level people from the Department of the Army will be there.
Fantastic.
As well as Soldier for Life will be there.
Yeah, some keynote speakers, and that's coming up at the UPS headquarters. And for those who don't know, Vetlanta is a club operated exclusively for veteran and social business networking and community service purposes. Founded just a few years ago. We got the whole story last episode from you and Lloyd. And looking forward to that Q3 summit. Again, we'll have all that information on our website and being able to put that out there later today. So let's also say hello now to our other in-studio guests. Let's say hello to Phil Cuban. How are you, Phil?
Hi, how are you?
Good. And tell us a little bit about your background, if you would, sir.
Originally, I was graduated from college in 1967.
All right.
And at that point in time, they were drafting oldest to youngest, and I was 23 years old, and within 6 months, I was drafted, and I was did my training in Fort Gordon, Georgia, in communications. Somewhere along the line, I got a top secret clearance. I don't know how, why, whatever, but I had a top secret clearance. So I went to Vietnam, and I was stationed. I was a 5th Special Forces Group out of Nha Trang, and that's where I spent my time. Mm-hmm. And where my role within that area was prioritizing communications, because most of it was just communications. Mm-hmm. And our job was to communicate with the outposts, special forces outposts, as critical information. And so that was my job. And I guess because I had a top secret clearance, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And
then ultimately returned from Vietnam and got out of the service in what year?
In 1969.
So immediately after returning home.
I spent 24 months in the service. I actually, shortly before I got drafted, I was working for 3M Company and then got drafted. And in essence, I went back to 3M, spent 15 years with them, great company to work for. And but at that point in time is that I decided that the entrepreneur bug got to me.
Mm-hmm.
Did not want to stay in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was too cold. My wife was from the South, but I was not an entrepreneur. And so I called a halfway house for corporate executives and managers at franchising.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my first franchise, relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, and opened a franchise called VR Business Brokers. This was a company that helped people buy and buy and sell small businesses primarily. Mm-hmm. Back then, most of the businesses were independent businesses. This was 1981. And along the way, I found that most independent businesses were more the American nightmare than the American dream. I made my inroads into franchising in 1982, and that's what I've been doing for the last 35 years or so.
And been successful at that and helping people operate a franchise, get into the franchise world, or help them sell their franchise business. Along the ways, what has been your experience with veterans in becoming franchise owner operators? What do they have that others maybe not have?
I think that it's kind of like most of the people we are dealing with are coming out of the corporate world. They're comfortable working within a structured environment. And I think that's why franchisors like veterans, because they've worked within a structured system. And generally speaking, there's a lot of people who veterans go into franchise businesses. And the other thing is that franchisors about 5 years ago formed FranVet in that regard, offering discounts to franchise to veterans who are interested in going to franchise business. Sometimes those incentives can be very very exciting and, mm-hmm. and cost-effective to help people go into their own business.
Yeah, absolutely. And franchise is a great way to go, to have a little bit of a structure and a kind of a roadmap of success already, and then the support of a home office or mission support. And all you got to do is just go out there and execute. And with from a veteran's perspective, that's a great position to be in.
Right. And our role, FranEd's role, is to match people with the right opportunities, is that not all franchises created equal. And, you know, there are some very good franchises and some that probably should have never franchised their business. But along the way, we provide a matchmaking service. Our service is free to people. And we really help them find the right one, leveraging their transferable skills, leveraging their interests, their budget, what they want this business to accomplish for them.
Right. And so are there any particular industries that you find veterans are really good, are suited for, particularly better than others?
I think that we see a lot of veterans going into service-based businesses, and they are lower in cost to get into and require more of a structured environment versus like a retail. Mm-hmm. But really, it's really across the board. I think that people, veterans who can afford a retail business, that's what they're going to go into.
Yeah, retail. And everybody hears the word franchise, they immediately think of flipping burgers, right? That's where you can buy a franchise, you're going to be, you know, working in a restaurant. But that's not the case either.
Over 100 different industries are being franchised, and it's amazing. Every year, there are just new industries being franchised. And that'll continue because I think most people in their careers are realizing that they have to become more self-dependent on themselves. They can't depend on, you know, the corporations with pensions or anything like that anymore. So they're looking to gain more independence and control. And a lot of them that are been 45, 50 years old are realizing that, you know, downsizing of corporate America has been happening since the 80s. Mm-hmm. And right now, if you're 50 years old, if you do get a job, it'll last about 2.5 years before you're downsized again.
Is that right? 2.5 years, and then you got to start rethinking your future again.
Right.
Right. And so with a franchise opportunity, you're able to get in there, start working hard, and then kind of grow from there. So when you're first looking at a franchise, what are some of those things you want to decide? Like you said, there are some that shouldn't have never been franchised, and there are some that are just right for it. What are some first kind of things to look at?
I think that the obviously what we feel is that in our system and helping people, once they've learned the business model, in other words, the franchisor will explain to them what the business model is, so they have a good understanding that the key there is to so-called talk to franchisees who are already in the business. And again, to talk to the ones who are doing well. And if you agree with that franchisee who doing well in the business, that's a positive sign. On the other hand, if you don't have the skills or the interest of a successful franchisee, maybe that's a time to look at something else.
Yeah, good point. And we're talking with Phil Cuban. He is the principal owner and board member over there at FranNet and can help you decide if international franchise is something you want to do. What are some resources that veterans can go to get information about the franchises out there that are particularly veteran friendly?
I think that the International Franchise Association is excellent. It's an association made up of franchisors. It's very educational oriented. I think the key, we feel anyway, is that the key to a successful franchisee starts with education, making sure that they're very comfortable with the franchise business. Some people are really not suited to a franchise. Right. If they're too entrepreneurial, in other words, they want to do it their way and are not coachable. And that's something that we discover along the way. On the other hand, I believe there's a franchise for everybody, but taking someone who wants to innovate more or looking for something that would that the system has not been perfected yet, a younger company sometimes suits that person who is a little more entrepreneurial.
Well, that makes sense. And you said that veterans are really good for these service-based businesses, like landscaping, like home fix-it type things, plumbing, all that?
Anything service-related where you're really satisfying the customer. I think the key there, they are lower-cost opportunities and allow someone to get into a business at a lower cost than, say, a retail type of environment.
Right. And so as you're looking towards the horizon, and we have more and more veterans out there looking to either get in the corporate track or the how are you getting the word out to the veteran community, particularly, that your services are available?
Basically, we do ongoing seminars, live seminars, every month, and we draw a crowd of people coming in to educate them about franchising.
In-person seminars?
Yes.
Okay.
My daughter and I, you know, do these seminars. And secondly, we've recorded that. We have a video of our seminar. So sometimes people can't get to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And our website is very informative of a lot of articles, a lot of information, including the video. And so that is AtlantaFranchiseExperts.com.
Okay.
I'd encourage anybody to, if they're just looking for more information and just about franchising, that would be a good thing to
AtlantaFranchiseExperts.com for sure. Or if you want to attend one of the seminars coming up, they can find out more information. And how many people usually turn out for one of those things?
Anywhere from 5 to 50.
All right.
So, average probably about 20 on usually fills up the room.
Right. And so there you have, we'll come back to Phil in here in just a moment. But if our listeners want to get in touch with you now, tell them about your website.
It's franchiseatlanta.com.
Okay.
And AtlantaFranchiseExperts.com. Right. That's the best way. Directly, my phone number is 770-973-0221. I love to talk to people just to get to learn their situation and see if I can help them.
Absolutely. We'd love to feature you again here on the program. So please stay with us. As we turn our attention now to Derek Smith, he's a financial advisor, but he's also a veteran of himself. Tell us a little bit about your background, Derek.
Thank you. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, about like an hour and a half west of Philadelphia, which is why I'm bald. I'm a diehard Philly sports fan, and all the stress they cause you in heartbreak, you lose your hair fast. After high school, I went into the Marine Corps, served one tour in Iraq from 06 to 07. Shortly after that, went on to law enforcement. I was a city police officer for a couple years in Pennsylvania.
In Philadelphia?
Near Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then after that, went overseas as a contractor, worked for Triple Canopy.
Security contractor?
Yes.
Right.
So I did 4 years in Kuwait. And after that, went to Afghanistan for academy. Spent most of 2015 in Afghanistan and then came back and jumped on board with as a financial advisor.
That's kind of a unique turn of events in your life. How did that all come about? Have you always wanted to be in finance? And the other question is, everybody always wants to be a contractor.
Right.
And here you are getting away from that. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, when I first started contracting, read the most influential book for me as far as business is concerned, and that's Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And I immediately began investing in real estate and investing in real estate and multifamily, single family, down in Georgia, as well as Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And then I already had a couple years of college completed, so mostly in criminal justice. So switched that to finance, finished my degree in finance, and also studied at UGA, Terry College of Business, for financial planning.
And so you kind of were exploring all of your options when you got out of the Marine Corps. You thought for a while, I'll go to law enforcement, then I'll go to the corporate track, then I'll do the contracting thing, and really doing a little bit of it all, transitioning. So what were some of those early determinations for you when making those decisions while transitioning?
Well, I definitely wanted to serve. I mean, my family was all in the military. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do the Marine Corps. I wanted to do law enforcement. I grew up around police officers. But the determining factor as far as with getting into finance, especially as a financial advisor, is one thing, you know, as a financial advisor, you get to reward hard work and success, you know, not attack it like a lot of people are doing in this country these days. Yeah. And especially rewarding small business owners, you know, they have a business, they build it, let's reward that. So that's something, you know, you get to do as a financial advisor.
And you utilize a lot of your resources, sound like you use the GI Bill to go back to school.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other resources that you use to help, you know, resume writing or anything like that?
I did not as far as resume writing, but also with the GI Bill. Well, as far as training, you get to, you know, extra pay for the initial training when I was a police officer. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, some extra money in the pocket for the first initial training.
That helps. And it's, and John, does this seem like a good fit for Boots to Loafers? Does Derek seem like the type of guy who could truly benefit from your organization?
He could. It's really spells out the whole process that you need to go through when you're making that transition. It's the fact that you got out and then went back as a contractor, and now what a turn of events.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you get from contractor to now you're a financial advisor? That's quite a leap.
Right.
I have a very close friend. He's been on the show, Grant McGarry.
Mm-hmm.
He was a triple canopy guy. He was also a 5-year First Ranger Battalion guy.
Mm-hmm.
He tried the corporate thing like you're doing right now. He didn't last but a couple of years because he just couldn't be cooped up in a hole.
Right.
Yeah. And speak to that. I mean, what are some of those things that attracted you to the financial industry or in working for a large, you know, Fortune 100 company?
Well, I mean, with a financial advisor, you're out, you're meeting a lot of people. I'm part of quite a few different veterans groups, as well as helping small business owners. And that's one of our main goals as far as our team's concerned, really focus on rewarding that, you know, that risk that small business owners take.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of this also is where you could also... a piece that I talk about in Boots to Loafers is personal financial management, where in your current life as a financial advisor would be beneficial to anyone making that transition, because it's something that you've got to deal with head on.
Right.
You don't have the first sergeant to help you anymore.
Right.
You know, or whoever it is that was helping somebody along. So that's a benefit. He needs to come to Vetlanta.
That's right. You said you're a member of a few veterans groups here in Atlanta. Are you are you familiar with Vetlanta?
No, I was not.
Okay. A great organization, great place to network and help find other like-minded individuals and connect services and professionally as well. So certainly, and having that financial plan together, not only if you're going corporate track or entrepreneurial, that is something that every veteran needs, whether they're just now transitioning or if they've been out for many years.
Right. You got to have a plan.
Got to have a plan. Absolutely. For sure. And so, if you're out there, what are some good first steps that a veteran could take as they're trying to get their financial house in order? They're about to get out of the service. What are some good things they can do from your perspective?
Well, I think that one of the things I see the most, especially not only in the military, but as contractors coming back, they really buy way too many liabilities.
Okay.
We need the big truck, the big house,
right?
And then, I can't afford this now. So that's one of the that was probably one of the most important things, just keeping your liabilities and your expenses lower.
Restrain your material spending
on
things, right? When you got a pocket full of money and such. And again, about the contracting thing, you know, as a former infantry guy, everybody wanted to get out of the Army and go be a contractor and make bukus of money and then buy those toys and stuff.
Right.
But it's not that easy either, is it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so making sure you have a good plan together, make sure you curb your spending a little bit and save for the future, be it a house or transitioning to another job somewhere.
Right.
So very good. So if our listeners wanted to find out more information about you or your services or a way they can get in touch with you.
Well, the best way would be, you know, my cell phone number, 770-881-1106. Then I'm also on LinkedIn, Derek Smith.
Derek Smith, and you can connect with him. If you're a former or you are a Marine, then he'd be happy to talk to you, or you're happy to talk to any members of any branch of the service.
Absolutely.
Right?
And any veteran that needs help.
Good.
Yeah, I'm always here for him.
All right. Well, stick with us, Derek, as we also turn our conversation here to Jason Sobczak and Chris Sims from CrossFit East Cobb. How you doing, guys?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good. I got to give a little shout out to these guys. When I transitioned out, 2010, you know, I was wounded in Iraq and I put on about 50 pounds and I was totally messed up mentally and I needed to get my life back together. The first place I went was CrossFit East Cobb. I live right down the street. I knew I wanted to do CrossFit and Jason welcomed me over there and got me back on track and got me back to fitness. And here we are, you know, 6 years later, and I'm still participating in CrossFit and everything. So thank you again, Jason, for opening your doors, not only for me, but for all veterans over there at CrossFit East Cobb. And so talk to us a little bit about your background first. Tell us where'd you serve and what'd you do for the...
Okay, I served twice. I joined the Army in 1991, right after...
Get in the mic. Lean into the microphone.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Sorry about that. So yeah, I joined the Army for the first time in 1991 after I graduated high school, the Fort Benning Infantry School, Airborne School. Got assigned to Fort Bragg with the 82nd Airborne Division. Served there as a paratrooper from 92 to 94. Mm-hmm. I'd always wanted to be a soldier since I was a little boy, but I didn't really want to make a career out of it at the same time. So I ETS'd, got accepted to the University of Florida. Put myself through school on the GI Bill, Army College Fund, had a part-time job doing a VA work study program. So pretty much was able to you know, put myself through college without incurring any debt or anything like that. I got a business degree from University of Florida, graduated December 97, got a job offer here in Atlanta with a company that recruits real heavily out of University of Florida. Moved to Atlanta. I was here for about 8 years working out in the corporate world in a few different fields from building materials to telecommunications and then to the mortgage industry. September 11th happened. Kind of felt that I wanted to get back involved in the military in some capacity. I was pretty established here in Atlanta, so I didn't want to go active duty again. However, I heard about a Georgia Army National Guard long range surveillance unit. Went down, checked them out December of 2001. Met some of the guys down there. Felt like it was the right place to be. So I ended up enlisting with them post 9/11 for 4 years and served as a team leader for the long range surveillance unit down there. And that's actually where I met Chris at.
Okay.
So I
you guys served together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So served with that unit for about 4 years. That's where I met Chris at. Ended up getting out. It broke my leg. Walked with a limp for a few years. It was pretty messed up. Ended up getting out December of 05. And then actually started a small mortgage company with a friend of mine. Did that for quite a few years. It was a company that provided contract loan processing services to other mortgage companies.
Okay.
Did well with that for many years. And then summer of 2007, the housing market started to crumble.
Right.
Was definitely struggling, was trying to figure out something to do that I needed to make some extra money. Was looking for new opportunities. Chris had been talking to me about CrossFit for a few years and I had started working out at another CrossFit gym in a different part of town. And was becoming very passionate about it. And we kind of collaborated and decided to open up a CrossFit gym and everything just really fell into place with us. We ended up being we were the 14th CrossFit gym to open up in the Atlanta metro area in 2009. And we've probably have grown it. I mean, it's grown dramatically over the
last 7 years. An anniversary over there,
yeah,
didn't you?
7 years on
congratulations on that. So let's hold it right there. Let's bring Chris in the conversation. So talk to us a little bit about your military service and then bring us up to speed on CrossFit East Cobb.
I think my talking now kind of encompasses everybody's background into one person, to be quite honest.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. With Phil being in Vietnam with SF, and I don't know if you're actually a Green Beret or not, but or attached to him, and then the contracting and the corporate world, it's just funny.
You've done all that, right?
So, yeah. So, I came in the Army in 99 and was stationed out in Hawaii, which is...
Schofield Barracks.
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Prior to getting out with the selection for SF, and I was with LRS out there. And then got out, went to college, and heard about, I stayed in the Guard. That's where I met Jason, in the Georgia Guard. I was not aware of 20th SF Group. So I'd gotten selected and got out, which shocked everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's something people work their whole career for and then never leave. But you decided to.
And I think I was 19 when I got selected and everybody else at that time. SF was still kind of the old SF where everybody was, you know, 35, was your average age. But got out, went to college, stayed in the Georgia Guard, met Jason. We became friends and then heard about 20th Group. So joined 20th Special Forces Group and actually went to the Q course through them. So still in the Guard, still with 20th Group. Pick up E8 here in October, which would be nice. But through there, like after I got out of college, I worked at actually Mass Mutual and did financial advising and stuff like that, like insurance license and 663, that kind of stuff. And then realized I was not meant to be in a corporate world.
Right.
So got out there, actually went to work for Blackwater, which quickly turned to XE at the time.
Contracting work. Which again, from a military perspective, a lot of guys, that's what they want to do, man.
Well, yeah, it was great.
It's like being overseas without your hands tied and you make a bunch of money.
Yeah. But as long as you don't get in trouble.
Right.
As long as you don't end up on a bridge in Iraq.
And at some point you decided that wasn't the right fit for you as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I had a new family, just got married, and had a little girl, and realized that spending my life overseas, albeit the money being great, was not really where I needed to be at. And so came back and used that money from contracting and use that for the gym for, mm-hmm. you know, for the down payment. So I came out debt free, and then we started this business and away we went. That's kind of it.
But so you've seen great success over the 7 years with CrossFit East Cobb. Membership has grown. You guys were recently on the cover of East Cobb magazine or East Cobber. And so a lot of great things have come from, you know, being owner operators over there.
Well, I think that speaks a lot to our personalities too. And the veteran side of, or the service side of individuals coming out. I mean, you're just more, I think, in tune with being on the schedule and holding up to your end of the bargain and really following through with good service. And that's kind of what's led us to this point.
Yeah, so. Customer service. And interesting too, now that we have, you know, Phil from franchise thing, CrossFit's not a franchise. You pay a little bit of a fee to be an affiliate, and then somebody can open up one right next door. And if they can do a better job than you, then competition will survive. And so that's just a unique thing to have as well.
That's correct. It's the founder of CrossFit, Coach Glassman, he's very libertarian within his thinking. So yeah, basically the strong will survive, or if you're providing a quality product, a quality service, you're going to stand out versus your competitor across the street. And I think we're both pretty confident in what we do now, that if somebody opened up across the street, we're not even worried about it.
No, you have a core group of members who are loyal, been there for years. You continue to grow and you continue to get the word out about all the good. You're changing lives over there.
Absolutely.
People are changing lives for the better.
Well, I used to always make the joke, like, there's nothing special about what we do. I used to say, we're not curing cancer. And then someone who's like, actually, I think you are curing cancer.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're turning lives around. Like, you know, for me personally, I was depressed. I was out of it. I was physically unhealthy, and I had nowhere else to turn. One of the things about CrossFit that really drew me to it was the tight-knit community, the veteran-like support, that accountability, that if I didn't show up on it for a couple of days, people were calling me and texting me. And then when I was there, they were saying, great job, Ryan. And when we suffer through the same misery together, I think that's one of the things I love about CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very unique too, I guess, given our background. We definitely have, I think we have about four West Point graduates who train with us, other military officers, tons of very high percentage of veterans who train there too, kind of definitely feel at home.
Yeah, and you guys always do things on Veterans like Day or Memorial Day. You did that assault course, right? Yep. I was going to do that, but it was a little too tough. There was no scaled version for me. So, but you guys have a lot of fun.
We can get you ready
for
it for next year.
For next year, right. And so what do you see? How do you see this business growing beyond where it already has? Where can you go from here after 7 years?
I think it's actually a more of a, it's going to sound kind of corny, but like a personal growth. And because for us, like we could obviously expand a little bit and get a little bigger, but I know for me, coming from contracting in the corporate world, like learning how to run a fairly straightforward business has led into another company that my wife and I own, and a 501c3 that we do now. And now a third company that I'm purchasing with another partner. So it's like, I think the growth from, simple, straightforward businesses is more personal and helps you understand what it takes to be the entrepreneur,
and it's helped you diversify. It sounds like, like you said, you had one lane that you're staying in, but now this has opened up a whole nother world for you and opportunities.
Absolutely.
So speak to that veteran out there who is now thinking about maybe going down that entrepreneurial track, opening up their own CrossFit gym, or maybe they just want to start personal training. What are some good first steps that they can take, from lessons you've learned?
Definitely, get some kind of valid certification. We're both CrossFit certified trainers. We have a lot of specialty certs too. So try to do something that distinguish yourself versus any other trainer out there on the block to make yourself unique. And, I think with our military background has really helped to make us stand out too. I remember before even anybody really knew about CrossFit in 2009, they were like, well, your military backgrounds really stand out. You guys are unique. That's why we're here. We don't really know much about CrossFit yet, but it kind of gave people an extra level of comfort.
Yeah.
Knowing that we had that background with already training people and advising them in other ways.
Yeah, working in small groups, leading people, they brought a little credibility to the table.
Absolutely.
Before they knew what CrossFit was all about, for sure. Were there any resources, veteran kind of friendly resources, be it through funding or business plan writing or networking with other business owners, anywhere along the lines that you were able to use?
So we did not, when we opened up the gym, Jason had a business background. So, you know, he brought a lot of the business expertise to the table early on. But now looking forward, like I can speak from my personal experience, like my wife and I with our filter distribution company we have relied on Georgia Tech pretty heavily because Georgia Tech mm-hmm. has a pretty good program for
ATTC down there.
Yeah, we've relied on them. And then we have a good friend, Laura Jessup, who's over at Gwinnett Community College. And she basically heads up their military veterans outreach program up there. And they do a lot with empowering veterans. Like they get a lot of veterans that come in there and get their business degrees and then kind of show them the ropes on how to kind of translate all the military skills you get into a more business lifestyle or stateside job, as I refer to it.
Stateside job. Is that what you call it?
Stateside job, yeah. Well, when you spend, I think I've got, my wife and I always joke, I think I have like 5 years now. Mm-hmm. We've been married 8 years. I think five of our years, I've either been in South America, Iraq, or Afghanistan. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, we refer to things as stateside or
yeah, overseas.
Away. Yeah, away.
Yeah, away. And so, and for you, John, do you know of any resources off the top of your head that people can use to help write a business plan or help put together a financial prospectus for opening their own business?
You know, the one source I know that is right here at our back door is Kennesaw State has a very robust entrepreneurial program. Mm-hmm. You know, Syracuse University has also got a program as well, but I think it's a resident. You have to actually go to Syracuse, I actually went to Syracuse. But other than that, I mean, there's just a lot of research. The resource that everybody has at their fingertips is the internet. I mean, it's all out there.
That's true.
And you can go out there. The one thing about these guys, I need to recruit these guys.
For Vetlanta?
You need to come to Vetlanta.
Yes.
Because if nothing else, what happens is you expand your network. So you're dealing with Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies, all veterans. These are veterans that actually work for these companies. You're dealing with veterans that are in for-profit companies, not-for-profit, as well as governmental agencies, both state and federal. And, you know, institutions of higher education, Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, they all belong to Vetlanta. So you can come to our summit on the 11th of August at UPS and you can meet and network with all of these folks. And you'll be amazed at who you run into. Yeah. The second thing I would recruit you guys do is develop a plan, a 60-day plan to get our vets ready to do just it's a 22-mile high. I mean, we did that
every
quarter.
That's a great point.
Yeah. In the 101st, we did that every quarter. So that wasn't a big deal. But, you know, for us old farts.
But you're right. If somebody may want to participate
in the high
coming
up in
December, they can put together a 30-day kind of train up to get you. Because, you know, walking 22 miles in 3 days for some may be overwhelming.
It's not flat.
No.
Well, we both got really involved in ultramarathons and 100-milers. But, you know, speaking on that, 22 miles. I mean, it's no joke because we have a lot of veterans at our gym and we do a 12-mile ruck with, you know, standard infantry, 35 pounds after the assault course. And a lot of people were like, oh, I got this. I remember that. And then they're a lot of sad faces because walking 12 miles with 35 pounds in your back is not as easy as people think it is.
Well, I always used to joke in that when I had to do that up at Campbell.
Yeah.
And I was the guy that had the 10-mile boots with a 12-mile ruck. And I mean, I'd finish and my heels were bloody. And it's just those little things like that make all the difference in the world. But it's one of those things where you have to have a training program to get ready for it. So we're sitting here in June. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this in December. So what's the 60-day plan or the 90-day plan to get ready to do that? So we get some folks trained up. I mean, we had to do it. Nothing new.
Yeah. Right. And it may be different for that veteran who hasn't been out in a while or hasn't got connected in a while. And the training can be part of that lead up to the connecting.
I'm pulling my old Alice pack out.
Oh, you are.
I'm going to tell you something. It works.
Is that right? So you're going to go old school and everybody wear the Alice pack.
Hey, look, I got that thing duct taped up with foam and everything. It's 30 years old.
Yeah. You can wear your jump boots too.
No.
Yeah, you keep those polished up. Into the
Solomon shoes.
Right. So that's great. So certainly is a great opportunity for veterans to get connected and can be starting a way for to get outdoors. And we were talking on our last episode about that as a therapy these days for veterans through hiking, through nature, to just connecting and so on. So so that's good there. And let's go ask Phil here. I was going to mention this for you with the Vetlanta and any opportunities for you to get involved with some of those some of the members there.
Absolutely. Like I said, we do a lot of networking. Our whole focus is education. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you had mentioned Kennesaw State. There's two government agencies, the Small Business Development Centers at Kennesaw and SCORE, retired executives, that will help with business plans with a lot of different ways. If someone's got an idea, wants to go in their business, even funding options along the way. So there's a lot of government help as well to do that.
Yeah, so some of the resources there at Kennesaw State can help the veterans get involved with, you know, writing their business plan, getting a go-to-market kind of strategy really hammered out before they decide to go the entrepreneurial track or maybe even the franchise way.
Right.
Very good. And what do you like to do in your off time, Phil, when you're not helping franchisees and franchisors?
I'm kind of I like to travel. I'm at the age where I like to travel more. And yeah. So along with my daughter, who kind of holds down the fort when I'm gone, she's in Spain, so I'm holding down the fort for her.
Really?
So it's kind of nice to have a partnership with a family member. But traveling is something. We just spent 2 weeks in Italy a couple weeks ago.
Fantastic.
So I guess that would be my
travel.
I like to travel.
Right. And are you still connect with any veterans resources groups or any organizations or anything along those lines?
Other than to keep people aware of the Fran Vet programs. In other words, when I'm working with someone, if they are a veteran, I direct them to the other organizations in town. But again, now I can direct them to your organization.
To Vetlanta.
Yes.
Yeah, virtually. It's a great resource. It's growing. And certainly Atlanta is, you know, being placed on the map as a destination city for veterans, for businesses that support veterans. And even though we are not necessarily known as a veteran city, we are working our way hard to be that way. And Vetlanta is making that happen.
You know, the interesting thing is, Lloyd and I have joked about this. We have at our Q3 summit on the 11th of August, we have representatives coming from Birmingham, from Knoxville, from Charlotte, and I think one other city, because they want to stand up a Vetlanta for their cities. And we jokingly say we need to figure out how to franchise this.
Okay.
Because yep. I'm actually traveling to Savannah at the end of the month because Savannah wants to stand up a Vetlanta. How they're finding out about this, I don't know. But, I mean, we're a club.
Yeah, it's not a 501c3.
No,
this is not a nonprofit. This is a club. People get together with the same kind of goals in mind to connect people.
And we don't want to be a We don't want to be we don't want the paperwork, and I don't want to handle money. I don't want to file tax returns.
Right.
But it's interesting about what veterans do.
Yeah.
The common thread is when we want to get something done, we team up and we get it done. It's just in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a mission, you plan, you execute.
That's
you
right.
AAR, you plan, you execute. I mean, it's a constant cycle.
Right. Right. And to serve, it never goes away either. As Jason mentioned at the top of the program, he wanted to be a soldier since he was a kid, has always wanted to be a kid, served once, got out, still had that calling, came back, served again. And in a lot of ways, he's still serving, helping people over there at CrossFit East Cup. So the service part of it never goes away.
I agree 100%.
Right. And so I think that for some veterans is a hard thing is they serve their country. They join when they're young and they get out in their early 20s, but they don't know how to continue to serve. So giving them ways to do it, be it through Vetlanta or other organizations, giving back is certainly very important for sure. For you, Derek, what do you like to do here in Atlanta in your off time when you're not changing the world of finance?
Well, like I said, I'm a big Philly sports fan, so I'm watching them usually lose right now.
Still
the Phillies,
yeah.
So.
Still being
tough
having
times.
Your heart broken
yeah,
year after
every
year.
Every day.
Right. It's a lot like being an Atlanta sports fan.
Right, yeah. It's tough times for both of us right now.
Yeah, right.
But I also like to golf. I like to just started playing tennis about a month ago, so working on that. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the gym. Always going to the gym, trying to get some long runs in still. But but that's pretty much
Any veterans, like tennis organizations or veterans golfing groups out there? I'm sure there are, but I'd love to know about them.
No, I haven't seen any. I'll tell you what, I'm really surprised that Well, you know, when I go to a Legion or one of the groups I go to, like Johns Creek Veterans Association, there's not that many guys at golf. So, really? I mean, there's a few here and there, but yeah. I've been surprised at the low amount of golfers.
I think Atlanta is ripe for the golfers, right. And especially for the veterans out there, you know, want to chase that little white ball around the fairways. Right, yeah. So, but Atlanta, again, is a great place for your corporate track. Like, you're going there, grow yourself professionally, stay connected, but also entrepreneurially as well. Atlanta's just a good city for that. So, very good. And Chris, when you're not, I mean, you're just got your hands full, several businesses, married, running, still serving active duty in the reserves, right? Or in the guard?
In the guard.
Yeah. Exactly. So when you have off time, what do you like to do?
I mean, it really just comes down to hanging out with family. Mm-hmm. We do like to shoot a lot. I'm actually going out to, I'm a fairly big hunter, and going out to Alaska in September to go inside the Arctic Circle and go on a 2-week unguided, get dropped off in the wilderness.
Solo?
I have one partner I'm going with, one hunter I'm going with.
Oh, and you've never been up there before?
I've never been up there. He's been up there about 4 times, I think, doing moose and some brown bear hunts. Yeah. But so I'm going to go.
Good luck. Are you taking a GoPro or anything with you? Because I want to see some of this footage.
We'll probably take pictures, but you are limited to 80 pounds total. So that includes ammo, rifles, pistols, tent, everything. So,
and you're going in September to Alaska and to hunt moose. Right, and get dropped off in the tundra. Nice. So, well, you'll have to come back, update us on that. That's exciting for sure. Good luck. Hopefully you bag a big one. And tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you or your organization.
Well, with CrossFit, obviously, you can always go to CrossFitEastCobb.com. And all the information's there. Jason and my contact info is on the website. And I would like to put out a plug real quick on Fitness Fueling Awareness, which is the 501c3 I started about 5 years ago. I guess I should say my wife and I started it, since she tends to do as much work as I do on it. But on July 25th, we have a golf tournament over at Indian Hills in East Cobb. And Fitness Fueling Awareness really benefits two spaces, which is cystic fibrosis, which I've gotten very involved with over the years. And then, we do some donations to veteran outreach and stuff like that. So, July 25th, Indian Hills.
Yeah, send me over the information. We'll post that up on our website later to be published with the show, and other people can connect with you there as well. And do come back and keep us updated on all your businesses, and show us some of that trophy pictures of your trophy moose.
Hopefully, I'll bring my tanned wolf hide in.
Yeah, that'd be cool too. Cool. All right. And Jason, for you, you mentioned you want to tell about your mortgage business as well.
So I've been a licensed Georgia mortgage broker since 2003. And actually, the whole thing with the CrossFit gym has been very synergistic with that. People obviously trust us to train them. So end up being their first source for getting a home loan, whether it be for a purchase or refinance. Mm-hmm. And those two have been very synergistic together.
Yeah.
As far as hobbies are concerned,
what do you like to do? You like to shoot?
Yeah. So, you know, CrossFit, working out, strength training is probably my primary hobby. I love the trail run. I spend a lot of time down at Soap Creek, that Chattahoochee recreation area off of Calms Drive there. Mm-hmm. Take my dog Jaeger down there for a run, usually about 3 days a week. He loves it. Recreational shooting. Got a membership in a private gun club out in Covington, South River.
Nice. Yep.
So try to get out there frequently and shoot ARs and pistols and things like that.
Well, buy your ammo now and buy any more firearms now, because who knows what next week.
Made another purchase this past Friday. So.
That's very smart. Way to stay involved for sure. And please do come back. Keep us updated on what's going on at CrossFit East Cobb or the mortgage business. Be happy to feature again. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all our guests in studio here today. It's been wonderful to talk to you. And thank you, John, for being that co-host and connections with again. We remind our listeners of the Q3 Vetlanta Summit coming up August 11th out here at UPS headquarters. There's going to be some big-time keynote speakers out there. You do not want to miss this one, so get connected with them there. And stay connected for later for that upcoming trail camping trip in December. If you want to get involved with that, we'll have some information up on our website that you can as well. So thank you, listeners, for joining us. And as always, if you're out there doing something interesting to generally serve the veteran community and want to be featured on our show, send us an email at ryanmcpherson@businessradiox.com. Or excuse me, that's rmcpherson@businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X family, I'm Ryan Red Hawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.